What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of the Cubs Weekly Podcast. We're joined by someone that, if you're a baseball fan, you have to recognize. Otherwise, I don't know what you're doing with your life. It's Jeff Passan. Kyle Tucker. Oh, do you think they're the favorite right now, the Chicago Cubs?
I've said yes in the past, and I will still say yes now, but I think the Cubs are going to have a limit that they're not going to want to go past. And the reason I have pause on saying unequivocally, yes, they are the favorite, is because I've seen this time and again. We saw it with Alex Bregman. If they do lose Kyle Tucker, that's going to be the reason, because they were steadfast in their position and refused to move off of it despite market forces doing what they need to do.
We're back live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show with your hosts, Gabe Ramirez and Judson Richards on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, we are just a hop, step, and a jump from Wrigley Field, live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville. It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Cubs and Kyle Tucker, although we still have September and then October to get to. We'll discuss that. Just a reminder, tonight the Cubs take on the Rockies in Denver. Pre-game coverage begins at 7:05, first pitch at 7:40 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. He is Gabe Ramirez. I am Judson Richards. He is Lance Brozdowski, a voice you just heard, along with Jeff Passans. Lance, thanks for joining us right here at Sluggers in person.
It's a short little walk over. Thanks for having me.
Not too bad. Yeah, so let's begin there. Because I've been thinking a lot about these Kyle Tucker numbers. I was looking at, you know, Shohei Ohtani and the year that he had. I know the absurdity of the contract that he got, but even Juan Soto, and so kind of that big time money. And then Kyle Tucker had 18 home runs going into that Angels series, but he hit three, so 21. It's like, all right, he may get to 30 home runs by year's end. How is the season that he's having potentially going to affect the amount of money he's going to get this offseason?
That was one of the primary questions I wanted to ask Jeff Passan when I talked to him, was, do you think this hand thing and the subsequent poor performance would have any influence on his offseason contract? Because I wasn't entirely sure. I feel like it's not a soft tissue thing. You know, it's one of those kind of more accidental things that you could maybe rationalize as an organization. You know, this maybe won't happen in subsequent years. It's kind of a blip, accident, etc. He played through it. We generally see that with guys in contract years. They tend to steal more bases and play through small injuries. So even though the data showed his bat speed was down, which is a pretty good way to ID this guy's hurt, in reality, yeah, it impacted his performance pretty heavily, to the point now where he's not going to have the season that I imagined heading into the year he would love to have put together to seek $500 million. Passan said that he thought it would have some influence, but I do think the key thing is how he plays in September and how he plays in October. We've seen guys in the past go into October, have incredible stretches and get a ton of money. I think like Jordan Montgomery, maybe not as high caliber of a player as Kyle Tucker, but you can do really, really strong in a short period of time and convince everybody going into the offseason that you're healthy and deserving of 450 plus. As to whether he ends up, Passan thought the number right now is right around 400 million, which I was a bit surprised because I see it more up in like the 475 area. That's a big gap, right? I think that if he goes to maybe a shorter AAV, or excuse me, shorter year, higher AAV, and is willing to take like five for 250, you start to get a lot more guys, a lot more teams, excuse me, in the picture. That could be difficult for the Cubs, who maybe have a little bit of leverage in saying, you know, we have good outfielders. We don't necessarily need Kyle Tucker, but I would argue they need Kyle Tucker.
I'm sure you saw this. After that home run against the Angels, where he was able to kind of breathe sigh of relief, the comments made by Pete Crow Armstrong after the game about him just sticking with it, even when the wind is blowing in your face at Wrigley Field, to watch him go to an AL West ballpark where he's very comfortable as a Houston Astro, we're all more comfortable perhaps in Southern California on a warm night. How do you think Tucker feels about playing at Wrigley Field day in, day out?
I think from an off-field perspective, it's probably incredibly positive.
Sure.
From an on-field perspective, I mean, I don't know if any hitter loves it, especially with how it played last year. This year, it's playing slightly more neutral, but last season was one of the most pitcher-friendly parks in baseball. I think this influences a lot of the Cubs' pitching strategy. Very heavy four-seam fastball team, willing to give up barrels, and most of those barrels are not going to get out. You saw that last year with Shota Imanaga. He's run into some homer issues. This year, I think you're starting to see some reversion of the wind, just pushing some of those balls out. But yeah, Tucker's clipped a bunch of balls to right center and right field that I just don't get out, you know? And I imagine that's incredibly frustrating for a hitter. But if you pay him, I don't think it really matters.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Frustrations kind of go away when you have a bunch of extra dollars in your pocket. But when you're talking about Kyle Tucker, right, I think it's a great point that you bring up. It's one thing for the Cubs to want him and to covet him as a baseball player, but it's how he feels on the other side of it. You hear a lot of players talk about at least once in your career you should play for the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field, but Kyle Tucker's cut from a different cloth. He's more of from the superstar caliber that doesn't necessarily move the needle for him, Wrigley Field or Wrigleyville, not to throw shade at where we're at right now at Sluggers, by the way. But, you know, so in your mind, when you think about the body of work that Kyle Tucker's been able to put on, not just this year, but throughout his career, does he strike you as a superstar that is not going to be moved or swayed by the allure of Wrigleyville and Wrigley Field itself?
I think it's hard to put yourself in the shoes of someone that is looking at that high of a dollar figure. I imagine a lot of situations being represented by Excel, he is, they're just going to want the most money. I think the thing that Passan has said in the past, and I entirely agree with, and now I've stolen, you got to be the best on the years or the money. And Passan thinks in this particular case, you have to be best on both. So you got to beat other teams on the years and you have to beat them on the money. If the Cubs can do that, they will get Tucker. If not, they won't. Have they shown in the past that they've been willing to hit the years and the dollars? I think the most recent two examples, Alex Bregman and probably a variety of other free agents I'm forgetting, the answer is no. Like, they haven't
Cody
gotten
Bellinger,
to the point.
Right.
Exactly. They haven't gotten to the point where they beat someone on the years or the dollars and then can go, we made a competitive offer. A competitive offer relative to the market. They might think it's a competitive offer as to whether it's actually competitive. No. Passan said on my podcast, I did with him, they should have signed Alex Bregman. I thought that was a really good point. Sure, it takes away from some of the Matt Shaw development, but Bregman's having a pretty good season. I know Shaw's been really good, but think back to April, how much everyone wanted him. And especially you go back to May, June, Shaw goes back down, you're like, my God, Alex Bregman looks unbelievable on this team. So the Cubs are going to have to get very uncomfortable with the number that Tucker's seeking. As to whether they do that will be answered in 2.5 to 3 months.
Yeah, he is Marquee Sports Network's Lance Brozdowski with us on 6M The Score. He's Gabe Ramirez. I am Judson Richards. We're in for Spiegel and Holmes on this Friday, live from Sluggers. I learned from Lance over the break that he's totally fine with Justin Turner hitting the cleanup spot in Greg Council's lineup. It may anger a lot of you out there, but no, seriously, you do hear about the roster frustration from a lot of Cubs fans. That doesn't bother you?
No, I think, so there's this really smart guy named Tom Tango who does a bunch of stuff for MLB.com and StatCast, and he had this big study that he looked at the worst batting order you can throw out. How much impact does that actually have on run scoring, okay? He said in a given game, it affects you from like a point. You would score about 0.25 less runs. And what we're talking about here is taking your best hitter, batting him ninth, your second best hitter, batting him eighth. Like literally, like a scrambled lineup that makes absolutely no sense. You aggregate this over the course of the entire season, and if you have the worst batting order versus the absolute optimal batting order, you're sacrificing maybe somewhere around like 40 runs. Seems like a lot, right? But think about it from the scenario of, okay, they're not putting out the worst batting order. They're putting out maybe you would argue a slightly suboptimal one overall that has a much smaller influence than 40 runs in an entire season. I just don't think it has, for the amount of attention it gets from the media angle, and it's probably our fault as well. We talk about it a ton on our pre- and post-game shows. Like, is the lineup in the right spot? Should Tucker and, or excuse me, should Turner and Kelly be batting 4-5, et cetera? I just, a lot of this is also like the bullpen management angle too. I think if your players play better, none of this matters. Right? I just think we glom to it because it's a very easy thing to critique, and it's very like relevant. Anytime you look at a batting order, you're like, oh, come on, that's going to mess him up. But you don't account for all the situations where it goes optimally for the Cubs. Like, this team is one of the best teams in baseball. I think to critique line of construction and the fact that they have 110 run difference right now is like a bit like missing the forest for the trees, or whatever that metaphor is.
Lance,
it doesn't have that much of an influence.
Right, Lance, but it's just a carryover from like the Rossi days, right? Where his line of construction was being magnified or looked on under a magnifying glass. So people,
but the offense wasn't as good then.
And that's, you know? And that's my point. So they say to themselves, well, if it's not working, something has to be happening.
And that's
and
the
therefore,
easiest thing.
That's the easiest thing that you can point towards. But Justin, as a former baseball player, you understand, and this is something that I used to critique Rossi on here on 670 Score often, it's that when you know day in and day out where you're going to be at in the lineup, you understand that mentality comes into play. If I'm batting three, if I'm the two guy and I get bumped to seven, or if I'm being moved around constantly, I don't have that opportunity to find my rhythm. I think that there's value there regardless of the 40 runs that you can find throughout a year. From a player's standpoint, Judson, I'm asking you this question.
Yeah.
Don't you think that that plays a big role in the psyche of a player day in and day out?
Yeah, although I think Greg Council is trying to maybe overcome something that happened last year with a lot of guys maybe running out of gas by the time they get to September, but you know, not necessarily roster construction, but who is in it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Should Ian Happy playing less, and should they try the younger guy in Owen Casey? Why is Willie Castro playing at third base instead of Matt Shaw, who's been good since the second half after the All-Star break, instead of maybe having, say, a Suzuki rest, right? I think that, you know, it's not just where they line up, but who ultimately is in it. And what is going on with Seiya Suzuki? Lance, can you fix Seiya?
I got to shout out Brendan Miller. Does good work for CHGO. He had a graph that showed Seiya's become like a really, really passive hitter. So his swing rate is down to like
50%. Which was a problem early, right?
It was, especially in like early count situations. He's always been really passive. But now overall, he's like at one of the lowest rolling marks of his career. So if you take his last 15 games, look at how much he's swinging, it's really low. So I would imagine the angle here is just he's not maybe seeing the ball well, so he's become passive. We actually saw this with Kyle Tucker. When his bat speed dipped, he became an incredibly disciplined hitter. He stopped chasing at everything. He wasn't doing damage, but he was still posting OBPs around like 360 to 380, which is really impressive. That's, I think, one of the reasons why he's a superstar, is because he's still like around a league average hitter from an OBP standpoint specifically. He's not doing damage, you know, batting out of the three hole, being able to drive runs in, but he's going to get on base for you overall. So that is the angle on Seiya. Like, again, I don't have the fix. I imagine maybe Dustin Kelly and others have theories as to the fix here with Seiya. But
so Seiya
really
swing
passive.
More, PCA swing less.
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing was just looking at this with Pete, because we're going to do something with Carlos Pena on our pregame show. Pete's chase rate right now is the lowest in August that it's been in his entire career.
That's good.
Come down. So, again, he hasn't fixed it, but he stopped swinging specifically above the zone. It's encouraging, I would say, overall.
Right.
So maybe this is like one of those things, as you get into the offseason, you look at next year, it's like, man, if he could do what he did in August, in September from a chase standpoint, maybe you start to see some of the.
He's looked good lately. Like, just his swing,
he's
his bat plane.
Here, I think. Yeah, I agree.
Looks good. So if you can add in the chase rate within, he's a different ball player.
It'd be unbelievable. I mean, this is the problem that I think a lot of these like higher variance kind of players run into. We saw this with Jackson Chourio this year. I know he's injured, or I don't know if he's back yet, but he hasn't been particularly great. He had a really good rookie season, and then he fell off really hard. When you don't, when you chase a lot, you know, you're high bat speed, you swing a lot, chase out of the zone, barrels. Like, it's a fun profile for months, but then that evens out with the opportunities when teams are like, oh, you're swinging at everything outside of the zone. Well, guess what? I'm going to throw you everything outside
I'm going to Javi Baez you to death
in
that situation.
Yeah, and then it's like, man, I don't even know where to put him in the lineup because he's not going to hit for the next month.
And it's funny because you mentioned, right, I mean, when there's success like the Cubs have had, it's hard to pinpoint on something, and that's exactly what you're doing with a guy like Pete Carr Armstrong. But circling back to Seiya, I mean, I remember last year when he had that time off and came back, that's exactly what he did. He was more aggressive at the first couple of pitches in the at-bats, and that's what got him there. But I think the Cubs overall, right, the struggles have been glaring when you're talking about the offense. It seems as though over the last couple of years, they haven't been able to put everything together at the exact same time, right? If the bullpen's pitching well, the starters aren't. If they're hitting, then the relievers aren't doing well. What is Craig Counsell doing in the present to try to bring everyone together, especially heading in to the latter half of the season?
I think the thing that he provides is a stabilizing factor, and I know people are going to hate this answer, but he's a data guy at heart, I think. He zooms out, and he understands the macro, and he's willing to like bet that these small sample blips that you run into are not indicative of what's going to happen. It's a very data-driven thing, and it aligns very much with how the front office operates from a model standpoint. They're very a model-driven team in the draft and a variety of other respects. So as a result of that, like, I think when you run into these small situations where it's like Matschull should be higher in the order because he's been great of late, the Cubs might be zooming out and going, in the entirety of the season, we prefer the Carson Kelly or Justin Turner against the lefty as opposed to a Matschull. And they're just going to bet on that and assume at the end of the year when you look back, that is the more productive result. I know people hate that answer, but I think at the end of the year when you look back and this team wins 90 games, like, one of the main reasons why will be some of those marginal games where they bet on the more macro stance last 3 years of or 3 months of information, let's say, and that allows them to convert an individual game. Baseball's tough. I think the more I've covered it on a day-to-day basis, I often really try to like zoom out, and I'm just like, let me take it in like 10-game sets. Yeah. We did something the other day in related to football in terms of like understanding like how many baseball games is like one football game and how often you overreact to like one drive in football. And we found basically that it's like 10 games of baseball is one football game. So it's like every 10-game set, if you want to reflect on that, I'm fine with it. But like individual game to game, I sometimes have difficulty in going like, Shaw's got to be hitting three against lefties all of a sudden. It's like, let me see the 10-game set here. You know, like, let me zoom out. I understand Kelly hasn't been good of late, and Turner, I think, is more of kind of like a vibes guy on the team rather than like someone who is legitimately going to be one of the best hitters versus lefties. But again, like, that's some of the feel stuff that they've started to mix in, which I find interesting for a team that's very data-driven. It's like, no, we're going to take, you know, the small hit on Turner batting against lefties overall and, like, are willing to have him on the team because he's such a leader. So it's not all data. There are some vibes mixed in.
How hard is baseball? Micah Parsons could never hit a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, so just remember that. He is Lance Brozdowski for the Marquee Sports Network. Gabe Ramirez and Judson Richards with you in for Spiegel and Holmes. Do the Cubs have the National League Rookie of the Year?
I think they do. I think it's Cade Horton.
I do,
and
too.
I think earlier this season I was a bit concerned on, like, the workload side. He's coming off a subscap injury, kind of wondering, like, what exactly his timeline is overall. Like, does he throw 120, 30 innings, and then you let him go 6 or 7 in the postseason? So, I mean, I think it's him. Like, I think a lot of the Rookie of the Year voting was really messy this year. Like, I don't think it's a very good rookie class. If you go back a month, let's say, it wasn't a very good rookie class. Now, Sean Horton have kind of stepped up. Isaac Collins, I think, is fine. I don't think he's a Rookie of the Year. Be one of the worst Rookie of the Years in the last couple of seasons, most, or probably last, like, 10 seasons or something. But I just see...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I see no reason to think that Cade is going to regress heavily. I know he's going to pitch in Coors, so like we'll see. I think even if he pitches bad, he throw it away because it's Coors. But I think it's him. I think he's the favorite in the markets right now from what I've seen, and I don't anticipate anyone else overtaking him. You know, the Miz, Mizorowski hasn't been that great. Shaw's an interesting angle if Cade regresses slightly and he continues this hot stretch. But I think it's Cade Horton. Yep.
Lance, thanks, man. The Cubs lost their mojo a little bit.
They're not as good as they were earlier this year. I agree with that, and it's a matter of getting it back. Like, this last month is big. Like, how many times do you think about, like, the hot team going into the postseason? They have a calendar month, a little bit over
they
that,
do.
To
yep.
prove that they are that hot team. Because right now, the Mets kind of feel like that hot team, calling up all these pitching prospects that look amazing. You know, the Padres are fun and interesting, but, like, the Dodgers are a weird team this year to me. Overall, they didn't make a lot of deadline moves. They're kind of betting on all their injured pitchers working out. There's a shot the Cubs can go in here and rip it in September and then go into the postseason. That's the hottest
They're going to need Cade Horton for that. That's
They're
for sure.
They're going to need Cade for sure.
I had a coach used to say, let's go boat race somebody today. How about 20 runs against the Rockies tonight in the Mile High City, right? It's a good way to feel good about yourself. Lance, thanks for stopping by, man. Really
thanks
appreciate it. You
yeah.
do great work at Marquee
Thank
Sports Network.
That.
Thanks for making us smarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks there he is.
Me.
Lance Brozdowski, Marquee Sports Network. He is Gabe Ramirez. I'm Judson Richards. Just a reminder, we're giving away two pairs of tickets to the Cubs. September 14th contest against the Tampa Bay Rays. It's brought to you by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. We'll be giving those tickets away as we're with you until 6 o'clock tonight. But coming up next, are the Green Bay Packers now operating in a very different way as an organization? We'll ask a former Packer, Mason Crosby, joins us next. Judson Richards, Gabe Ramirez in for Spiegel and Holmes. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Welcome in to the Mason Crosby Show. Tommy Wirtz in for Mitch Thunder Nellis with the Packers' all-time leading scorer, Mr. Crosby. How are we?
It's good to be back. Yeah, jumping on a plane yesterday and some, you know, just some medium-sized news.
Medium.
Yeah, just a little medium-sized news, but... Who saw this coming? I mean, we've talked about this till we're blue in the face. And, I mean, nobody expected this to happen. Nobody expected. I mean, Jerry Jones, something's going on there. The fact that he would send his best player to the Green Bay Packers, who they cannot beat, like, even with Micah Parsons, like, it just blows my mind.
Well, Jerry Jones is looking around that suite for some answers, and right now they don't have any.
Oh, what a disaster. This loss hurt us every way more than anyone we've ever had.
I still hear it ringing through my ears of Jerry Jones telling people, don't lose sleep. Don't lose sleep about Micah Parsons. I'm sure Cowboys fans, they are losing plenty of sleep. But maybe on the other side, for Packers fans, I'm Judson Richards. He is Gabe Ramirez in for Spiegel and Holmes today. We are live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville as the Cubs are in Denver tonight. Face off against Colorado Rockies. Our pregame coverage begins at 7:05 right here on The Score. You heard his voice. You heard that man. He is Mason Crosby. He is the Packers' all-time leading scorer, host of the Mason Crosby Show on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. Mason, what happened to draft and develop? Draft and develop, yet here you are making one of the biggest splashes all time in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, we didn't know what to talk about this morning other than just our surprise that the Dallas Cowboys would send Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers. It's I don't know what Jerry Jones was, what he woke up thinking whenever he decided that was going to be the move that he was going to make. But, you know, I think Packers fans everywhere are pretty excited about what's going on. And I don't know what's going through Bears fans' minds, but I can't imagine the NFC North was too excited to have that news come down tomorrow or yesterday afternoon.
Mason, it's not about what's going on in our minds. It's what's rolling down our cheeks, and those are tears that are happening right there. But let me ask you this. You know, Parsons, without a doubt, changes the dynamic of any defense. But when you think about this Packers team, how do you see him fitting into the system specifically?
Well, you know, I think the what works out well is that Halfley is one of those great types of coaches that is willing to adjust what he's trying to do on defense for the players that he has at his disposal. Like that is not always the case with defensive coordinators. There's a lot of coordinators that are like, this is how I run my defense. We will find players to fit into how I do this. Halfley's already been very outspoken about the fact that even from last year to this year, with the guys in the building, he's adjusted a lot of things. So I spoke on that today on my show where I was just like, okay, yes, let's take a breath. Let all the excitement, all the energy around Micah Parsons will settle down here in a few days once they all get in the building. And Micah Parsons is going to have to fit into this team and into this defense in a certain way. And they're going to have to find the best way to just let him go and cut him loose with all the abilities that he has. I mean, you know, I tried to ask somebody, I said, all right, tell me like a weak spot of Micah Parsons' game. And it's just like, there aren't really many. there's no weak spot. There might be some spots where it's like, yeah, he could maybe improve a couple percentage points, but the stats speak for themselves. I mean, whenever he wasn't on the field in Dallas, they were like one of the worst defenses in the league. Whenever he's on the field, they were one of the best. He is only behind like Myles Garrett and I think like Joey Bosa Nick Bosa, sorry, for some stats that are like some of the best things that they look at for defensive players. And so the guy is a freak athlete, a freak player. He's had 12 plus sacks and everything. So I think he makes the job very easy for a defensive coordinator, and they're going to find so many ways to unleash him there in Green Bay.
He's former Green Bay Packer Mason Crosby, now host of the Mason Crosby Show on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. He is Gabe Ramirez. I'm Judson Richards with you in for Spiegel & Holmes today. Mason, was this a sign of really a change of leadership and how the Packers may operate moving forward to make an enormous trade like this? Or is Micah just simply too great a player to pass up if you have the opportunity to get him?
Yeah, you know, we were speculating a little bit on that, and you're just like wondering, okay, did they give a call, in the offseason? Were there calls made like, hey, we're looking to get our pass rush going. Like, is Micah Parsons available? Y'all haven't, figured anything out on the front of giving him an extension. And, and then it kind of went a little crickets because Jerry Jones seemed pretty adamant that he was going to, get a quote unquote handshake deal done with Micah Parsons, not deal with his agent and make him the highest, paid guy. So it kind of felt like, okay, this was going to be the whole Dallas Cowboys thing. And then opportunity presented itself here this last week, seemingly, with Micah Parsons being really, kind of just done with, Jerry Jones and what they were doing there. And yeah, to kind of everyone's surprise, I mean, they went the other route. My wife said it this morning. I thought it was great, and I wish I had a recorder on her because she said it so well. But she was just like, the Packers literally didn't just trade for Micah Parsons. They traded to be the Dallas Cowboys for a moment, right? Like, they went and they went all in. They gave up draft pick. They like became now the most talked about, made a splash and like, kind of made the entertainment side of this business being in the Green Bay Packers forefront. So, yeah, I think it was just an opportunity. They needed, they thought this team is on the, on the cusp of something really good. And Micah Parsons is truly one of those players that, and you've seen it in the history of the Packers organization. You bring in one of these dynamic, unbelievable defensive players to kind of shore up like what you're trying to do and the culture you're trying to bring, and they've had great success with it over the years. So, you got Ed Policy coming in, taking over. I think Goody and LaFleur are kind of looking like this is the team. This is the year. We got to go chase this thing because who knows? Who knows if you don't get it done? Like what the future might hold up there.
Yeah, Mason, and not only are you guys bringing in one of the most disruptive players in the NFL, but he's a superstar. nonetheless. And you've been in that locker room for years. So how hard is it to bring in a superstar and keep the culture balanced? Because the Packers certainly have their own culture.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that's what I was speaking on earlier on my show this morning, too, is that at the end of the day, you know, I think the culture will kind of even out some of that. Like, I do think there has been a shift up there in Green Bay where it's like you brought in Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, like some of these guys from other places. And you've started to hear more personality and more voice come out of the players up there, which wasn't always the case in Green Bay. It was just kind of like stay status quo, you know, Packers first, organization, all of those things. But I do feel like some personalities have been brought into that building and, you know, able to build their brand and kind of, you know, talk about the players and the guys that are, you know, doing it up there in Green Bay. So, yeah, I'm sure Micah will still be rocking his podcast, you know, saying his stuff, doing his thing. But at the end of the day, I hope he goes in that locker room and guys, you know, give him a hard time about, you know, being the highest. But, you know, it's funny. Guys will give guys hard times about being the highest paid player in, you know, in the NFL, which I don't know how that's something that you can, you know, make fun of someone for, but they find a way. And so I think that's going to be kind of the instant thing where you got to bring him in, make sure that he's part of that team, not held to this kind of different, you know, standard and elevated. He needs to fit in, work into that system and go out there and just, and lead from the front and lead on the field with his performance for sure.
He is former Green Bay Packer Mason Crosby with us on 6-7 The Score. Mason, we open our show talking about, damn it, the Packers stole the Bears' shine. We were 6 days away from the start of the NFL season. It was a pretty quiet off season. One of the biggest moves was the surprise that the Packers finally took a wide receiver in the first round, but the Lions didn't do anything of note. The Vikings lost their quarterback, and here were the Bears that got the great offensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions, and here we are where it's outshined, at least from an offseason standpoint, with getting Michael Parsons. What's the conversation there surrounding the Bears, Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams? What's the threat level in Milwaukee?
Well, obviously, Ben Johnson is a proven great offensive mind and coordinator. I think they're just like anytime a coordinator goes and now is a head coach, you just have to be a little, you know, weary or a little cautious of, like, you know, jumping the gun and being like, all right, he's going to be a great head coach, right? So I think only time will tell there. But, you know, we saw with Coach LaFleur. I mean, he was offense coordinator, came to Green Bay, and, you know, had instant success. So it definitely can be done. And I think, you know, Ben Johnson seems to say the right things, have the right approach, you know, do all those things well.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Y'all did. They're, the Bears, they crushed the Buffalo Bills in preseason. So that was, you know, that was a good step in the right direction. But I always take preseason with a grain of salt. But I do think the Bears have, you know, have a chance to be much better this year. It seems like Ben Johnson is going to kind of try to really give Caleb Williams a more simplified path to success. And you know, for us, like whenever I look at it from what the NFC North is, the biggest question mark, which is odd because they've been winning, you know, consistently these last few years, is the Detroit Lions. Great, you know, great team. They have a lot of great players, but when you lose those two key pieces and those two the defensive and offensive coordinators, those are tough. Those are tough things to overcome. So I think in my mind, when I look at like the NFC North, Detroit Lions probably have actually the most question marks on them trying to replace those two coordinators. And, you know, and then now I think Chicago Bears, if you look at them, all you can look at is that they have upside, that there is a lot of upside that they, if they play well, everyone is going to look at it and be like, all right, like Ben Johnson's doing his thing. Caleb Williams is taking those steps. But you know, if it doesn't go well in Chicago, then now all the pressure and all the question marks come back on the Bears. And I know y'all don't want that down there.
Not at all. When talking about the Green Bay Packers, you know, you mentioned the Lions, you mentioned obviously the Chicago Bears, but now with the addition of Micah Parsons, this puts the Green Bay Packers in a different lexicon. Judson and I were talking about the success of the Green Bay Packers, and I'm curious your opinion on this conversation we were having. Do you feel like as though the success of the Packers is more predicated on Jordan Love or on the impact that Micah Parsons makes on that defense?
Well, that's the thing. And I, you know, I was in those locker rooms for so long. And, you know, the beauty of a football locker room is that it is the ultimate team sport. Like, Micah Parsons is an unbelievable defensive player, but it also, that revolves around all the other guys on the defensive line, you know, the secondary, everybody doing their job at a high level as well. He can't do it all himself. He's not going to help the offense, you know, run the ball and, you know, and score and throw and catch and do all of those things. So you got to look at Micah Parsons kind of in a vacuum, but the energy and the excitement and the freedom that having a dynamic player like that on the other side of the ball, what it gives the offense. So like we were trying to discuss that. Is it pressure? Is it freedom that it puts on Jordan Love in this offense? And I look at it as it's a freeing up. Now it opens everything up. You can go for it on, you know, fourth and three or fourth and four, you know, at the 45-yard line more confidently, knowing that, you know, if you don't get it, you're putting that defense out there led by Micah Parsons. And I mean, you got some young talent too, Edgerrin Cooper, and then you brought in, you know, Xavier McKinney. I mean, at each spot on that defense, there is elite talent. So for Matt LaFleur, for Jordan Love, I think that just opens up the playbook so they can kind of be a little more creative, a little more dynamic, and go out there and try to, you know, spread the field out and have success. I think still the biggest question mark on that team right now is probably the wide receiver room. Super excited about Matthew Golden. Honestly, one of the best young route runners that I've seen just from like the kind of limited exposure that we've had to him. But just watching his routes and how he runs, and I mean, very minimal amount of drops throughout camp. But then, you know, like drops were an issue for the team as a whole last year. So we got to see what other wide receivers in that group step up, because you don't always want to go into a season, even if a rookie is really solid and really good, leaning on them so heavy that they are going to be, you know, the one expected to make all the plays. So I think it's going to come up to, can Romeo Doubs, you know, bounce back, have another solid, good season? Is Jaden Reed going to be healthy? And then, you know, they're really high on Dontavian Wicks up there in Green Bay. So if he can go and, catch the ball just a little more consistently, he could be a real big weapon for them up there in Green Bay as well.
Mason, we will leave you with a congratulations and the worst of luck as the season gets
exactly
started. But good stuff, Mason. Thanks so much.
I really appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
All right, there he is. Mason Crosby, the all-time leading scorer for the Green Bay Packers and the host of the Mason Crosby Show on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. Yeah, but listen, the start to the season, it's a great NFC North start. The Bears have the Vikings, obviously, on Monday Night Football. The Sunday matchup, the Lions and the Packers in Green Bay. I'd venture to guess that Packers fans may be feeling more confident about that matchup getting started in Week 1. We can discuss that. Let's react to what Mason Crosby had to say. Also, coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll get heavy into the Bears with Chris Emma, who will join us here. We are live at Sluggers in Wrigleyville, getting set for Cubs baseball tonight, but they are in Denver as we are just steps away from Wrigley Field. Come out and see us on a beautiful 70-degree Friday. He is Gabe Ramirez. I'm Judson Richards. In for Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Michael Parsons, hey, look, you can report all you want. There's no way they're allowing Michael Parsons to go anywhere.
You sure about that?
Oh, my God. I can't believe this, man. I've been here all day. I can't believe this. I cannot believe we just traded Michael Parsons.
Somebody check on Michael Irvin. I'm not convinced Michael Irvin is doing okay. Judson Richards, Gabe Ramirez, live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville. What a Friday ahead. A Labor Day weekend. Mason Crosby was just great. We'll react to that in just a moment. Chris Emmons going to join us coming to the 5 o'clock hour. The Cubs get the hit in the mile high air. We'll talk about the Cubs coming up in just a little bit. And Gabe, tomorrow, your 9-day-old turns 10. So you have that going for
another
you.
Another sleepless night is what I'll tell you right there. But we have a good rhythm going, you know.
I was going to say, how is the old sleep schedule?
So the way to do it, for those of you that don't have kids or are about to have some kids, when you're getting a new one, you got to take turns. You can't just stay up. You want to, as a man, especially in 2025, you want to stay up with your wife, help her overnight. But when she's breastfeeding, there's absolutely nothing you can do except change that diaper and hand the baby off. So what we do is at 9 o'clock, she does a feeding. And I have 3 kids, by the way, this is my 3rd kid. So we have a rhythm. At 9 o'clock, she does the feeding. Then I take the baby. Mm-hmm. And then the baby sleeps on me. And my wife gets a couple of hours of uninterrupted, no baby holding. And so that's her window right there. Then overnight, midnight to 5, it's kind of like the Les Grobstein hours. She takes the baby and then handles it. And then at 5, 6 o'clock, I take the baby and allow my wife to sleep from 6 to 8-ish. And then that way we both get, 5 hours of sleep, which, with a newborn, is like an eternity. So, we'll work on that this weekend and see how that healthy hangs
out. I'm just getting to know Gabe, and I've learned that he's a White Sox fan who named his daughter Ivy.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes no sense, and I think that's why I appreciate it. And when I asked you, I'm like, is that a celebrity baby name? No one's ever asked you that before?
No, I'm just...
You know what baby I'm thinking of?
Who?
Blue Ivy.
Oh, okay, her middle name.
No one's asked you that. It's
my first daughter's name is Whitney.
By the way, Blue Ivy is Jay-Z and Beyonce's
daughter.
Yeah, right.
And Whitney, people thought Whitney Houston initially. We thought Adele for our second daughter, and then I thought that's way too weird.
It's a lot of pressure
to have too many people out there.
That's the world's greatest voice.
And Lord knows I can't sing a lick. even though if you heard on the intro,
prove it.
If you heard on the intro, the seventh inning stretch, Pat and Ron gave me some kudos for my vocals over there. But no, it's been cool. Shout out to my wife again, and shout out to all the parents that had babies in 2025. I'm sure you're feeling better than the Cubs feel after their 3-game sweep against the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
A little shade right there. Just a little bit.
I have a 5- and 2-year-old, and you will hear no complaining from me because you have a 9-day-old, and so that is just...
Two and five, you're in the sweet spot. You're right. In the sweet spot. They can play with each other. They can handle themselves. There's not much you really have to do. Just a little dinner, a little teeth brushing. One's already potty trained. Is the two-year-old potty trained already?
No.
Okay, taking the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They see the big. They see the older sibling.
She has her moments. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
when she wants to.
We haven't pushed her into it.
Yeah.
My wife keeps going. Let's do it this weekend. And I'm like, I think there's a game on.
She'll be fine. She'll figure it out. I promise you, she'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah. So early this morning, as you may have been holding a baby, were you Googling, like, what is the contract status for Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur? Like, is this a move that they made because they need to get more aggressive to perhaps make a push so their contracts get extended? Is that the way you see this thing a little bit?
Yeah, I think when you and I were talking, that was the first thing that I asked, right? I said, how many years are left on their contracts? But I think more so than anything else, it's shocking because it's just not the Packers' way of doing things.
Right.
To bring in a guy like Michael Parsons in the prime of his career, to give him the amount of money that you're then going to be handing over, it just doesn't sound right. I think that's what stings more so than anything else for Bears fans, where you're seeing an organization that doesn't necessarily do that, and you're thinking, why not us? Why didn't we do that? Why did we allocate dollars to Dangbo and, you know, anyone else on that line? And then thinking to yourself, you know, you're that close to Michael. You're 2 hours away from Michael Parsons in that sense. But what was your take when you saw that happen? Do you think it was a move out of desperation or
Absolutely
one where
not.
They really felt like the window was there?
No, when you say why not us, I can't believe, you know, the two trades that have stopped us in our tracks in however many months have both come out of Dallas with the Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers. And speaking of why not us, I think you probably had 30 other franchises being like, why not us? Could we get in that conversation? And so when it comes to the contracts of Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, or, you know, there's the Ed Policy storyline, which is a very interesting one. Carmen Policy, his dad or his grandfather, either way, Carmen Policy was leading the San Francisco 49ers organization. He made the trade and moved Charles Haley to the Dallas Cowboys and set them up with a number of other great players for that role that they had in all the championships. So now Ed Policy is leading the group of the Green Bay Packers, and he makes a move to go and get a player of that ilk that, let's hope, doesn't set up the Green Bay Packers for years to come. So it's like, well, you know, the Packers, are they now operating differently? But the way I see it, I think, honestly, every single team in the division, maybe in the NFL, may say, you can have one player, maybe not named our quarterback, and we'll give you our two first-round picks if they could make it work financially on the books to then sign Michael Parsons to that deal. I think, you know, agreeing on the money of it all, depending on your salary cap, that may have been a bit complicated, but do you make the trade for two first-round picks and a 29-year-old player like Kenny Clark? Absolutely. The deal is made for a 26-year-old Michael Parsons.
Yeah, you do it.
The Packers did it as quickly as they possibly could.
Yeah, and signed the check as quickly as, I mean, the numbers came out immediately.
They were done. Yeah.
After everybody knew that the trade was going to happen. But you look specifically at the NFC North, right, Judson? You just say, a guy like Michael Parsons, right, his strongest asset is the pass rush. And when you're thinking about the NFC North, it's Jared Goff and the high-powered offense of the Detroit Lions. It's what was last year a 14-win team with the Vikings and a wide receiver, regardless of Jordan Addison not playing the first couple of games, it's one of the best wide receiver rooms in the NFL. So you're looking at that. And then, obviously, a newly led Chicago Bears team with Ben Johnson. These are three offenses that are operating more often than not, they're going to be passing than running. And so you get a guy like Michael Parsons to then offset that talent that's on there. So it seemed very intentional what they did, but obviously they feel really good about their team and then where they stand currently in the landscape of the NFC North.
Yeah, and how does it affect the Bears? Of course it affects the Bears, but the Bears have a gauntlet of a division to begin with. Like, to win their games against the Packers, the Bears, and the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions, they are going to have to play near-perfect football. So that just gets a little bit more near perfect as they're going to have to get. Like, were they going to roll the Packers and now that changes because it's Michael Parsons? No, they would have had to play great football then, and they're going to have to do it now, and they're going to have to run the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
The problem is going
to
be,
it's hard to sack a quarterback when he doesn't have the ball.
Yeah, and DeAndre Swift, I'm not sure how many rushes he's going to have between the tackles in order to stop a guy like Michael Parsons, but it's going to be interesting to see how the Bears, and Ben Johnson specifically, game plan from Michael Parsons in that Packers defense.
Let's get to this. Let's dive into the Bears head first. And I thought Mark Sanchez is also always very good. I think he's gotten better on the broadcast, but I enjoy him in interviews. He was with Rich Eisen. And he had a theory about Ben Johnson, Tyson Bagent, and Caleb Williams that we want to react to. Have you heard this? This is some really interesting stuff about how far a head coach may go to really get his QB1 off and running. We'll dive into that coming up. He is Gabe Ramirez. I'm Judson Richards. Happy to be live from Sluggers. A beautiful day in Wrigleyville. Come in, maybe have a drink, maybe head on up, swing the bat a little bit. We've got cages on the second floor. So much to do right here at Sluggers. That's coming up next on 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.